It's kind of funny that what we're going to talk about today is about healing. And we pray healing is one of the graces that God gives to us. And it's for the church to fulfill. I want to read a scripture that should be our reality. The scripture is 1 Peter 2:24. It says, "He who himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed." Father, we just come before you, Lord. We ask that your Holy Spirit enlighten our hearts and remind us of these things that you have imparted to us and give to us, God. We pray for those who are infirm right now. We send your word to them, God. That, Father, that they would recuperate from the bed of sickness and be with us, God. We just thank you, God, that you transcend time and space and that your word does not return void. And we thank you, God, and call it done in Jesus' name. All of us have experienced some sort of attack of sickness and diseases by the enemy. It's not of God, okay? We don't want to say God made us sick and all. God didn't do that. He has delivered us from that. Okay? That's the whole purpose of the cross. He has done this. And generally what happens is when we get sick, the tendency is that we wear down. We need a few days of rest and recovery so we can allow the bodies to recuperate, because we haven't taken care of the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so what happens is we go through these things, and in a couple of days they pass, and we're feeling a lot better. But there's a time when something happens in our lives that just a couple of days rest isn't going to do it. Sometimes there's some lingering effects that happen in our bodies that we need more than just a couple of days. We need touch from God. And so what I want to do today is I don't want us to think about this name it and claim it stuff that's going around. But what I want us to do is begin to start seeing the practicalness of what's in Scripture and having us line up with Jesus Christ so that we can receive healing for whatever infirmity or disease or sickness that's going on that we're being attacked by. But not only that, we as the body of Jesus Christ can pray for one another, and those who do not know Jesus Christ, we can pray for them so the miracle can come forward in that. And I want to say this, that before the fall, there was no sickness. You look at Genesis and you see that everything was fine. Adam walked in the garden, God spoke with him. But after the temptation and doubt was brought in, and of course their rebellion, Adam and Eve's rebellion, sickness is a result of what has happened because of the rebellion. And so what we have in this world is sickness. We have death. We didn't know what death was before. There's infirmities. And all these things have come upon mankind because of what we did, not because of what God did. God intended for all of us to be made whole, to be whole, and to be holy as He is. So turn to John. The Gospel of John. Daniil, you have a Bible? Would someone be kind enough to get her a scripture? And while we're waiting on that, John 5, verses 1 through 9. You can use my sword. Anybody can wants to use my sword? Okay. Okay.
She's good. She's well equipped now.
Well, Ed was here. He got raptured. Okay. 1 John 5, we're there. It says, After this there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And now there in Jerusalem was by the sheep gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. And in In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the water to move. For an angel went down at a certain time in the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease or sickness that they had had. Now a certain man was there, and he had an infirmity for 38 years. And Jesus saw him laying there and knew that he had already had been there in that condition a long time, said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, but while I'm coming, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked. And that day was the Sabbath. Let me paint the picture for you. Prophetically, there are some things in here. Ed, you can use my scripture. You can use mine. Okay, we'll fight over it later. We have a gathering. Now this pool is a small pool, and there's people sick. Every kind of sickness and disease is hanging around this pool day after day after day, waiting for an angel of the Lord to step into this pool and stir it, because there is a divine impartation into the water that they know that when they step in, they will be made whole. And Jesus is walking up to this guy, and he sees all these people, and he asks a question of them. Do you want to get healed? And that question comes to us today. Do you want to be healed? And how we respond will determine what we get. And so the guy responds to him by making excuses, giving him facts, giving him everything that Jesus didn't ask for. He asked him a simple question. Do you want to be healed? And this guy, he had this infirmity for over 38 years. And God wanted to release him from the throes of this sickness or disease or whatever infirmity it was. Why? Why did he want to do that? Because that's God's heart for all of us. He doesn't want to see any of his kids hurting, being sick. And those of us that are parents can understand it. When our kids get sick, I mean, it's like tearing our heart out. I mean, there's nothing we can do for them. We just got to lay our hands on them, pray over them, hope for the best, you know, and ask God to bring healing, manifest healing. Sometimes what we do is we take them to the doctors. There's nothing wrong with going to the doctors. There's nothing wrong in going to the hospital. In some Pentecostal circles, they say you don't have enough faith. I say you do what you need to do, because God works through these professionals to make ourselves whole. It's not that you have little faith. What you do is you have great faith. You have great faith that God's going to use this doctor or nurse or this medicine to help make our kids better or help make ourselves better. But what we need to do is not make excuses of why we don't. Why we don't have the healing, why we don't go to God, why we don't do things. And that's really prevalent in the church because of the extremes of the Pentecostal teaching of name it and claim it, you're healed and you got to walk in this, and there's an element of truth, but I think it shackles people to the point of mainline denominational churches where they say healing was only happened when Jesus was walking around and the apostles. It doesn't happen today. Well, that's a lie from the pit of hell, because did sickness and diseases stop? No. Did Jesus finish his work on the cross? Yes. But in that final work, he imparted to the church the power to continue his work. Was Jesus ever sick? No, he was never sick. And neither should that be in the body of Christ. But when those times come, he gives us a way in which to do this. So I'm going to break this down so that we can see the way and begin to start putting back into practice these things so that when you're with somebody and they're not feeling well, you have the power. You don't have to wait. Say, well, I'll take it to Wednesday night prayer group and then forget about it. Pray for that person right then and there and let God use you because you're part of his body. Amen? Bethesda, what does that mean? Bethesda in the Greek means house of mercy or house of grace. And there was five pillars. What is the number five symbolize?
Grace.
So Bethesda was emphasizing, this pool was emphasizing the grace of God to there. Hebrews 4:16 says, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace and help in the time of need." Do we come boldly to God? Well, if God wants to heal me, he'll heal me. No, God wants to heal you. Do you want to be healed? That's the question. God has the power to heal you. Do you want to be healed? Yes, I want to be healed. Okay, great. But there's a criteria that we have to meet that Jesus sets forth so that healing can flow not only to us when we need it, when we go boldly. Doesn't mean asking mealy mouth. It's one of the promises that God has said to us that is to you also. It's a promise that whatever you ask in his name, he will do it for you. So come to him. It's his greatest desire to heal his children. He doesn't want us to suffer in those things that are continuously at odds with us. Okay? Then the location. This pool was located near the sheep gate. What does the sheep gate symbolize and what does this pool symbolize? If there's grace available to us, and everything that's available to us is through grace, through faith in Jesus Christ. We are saved by grace, right? Through faith in Jesus Christ. Then everything else is through grace. And God freely gives it. He does it. He's not stingy. He wants to bestow it upon his church. He wants to bestow it upon you. And he wants you to bestow it on someone else. It's called the divine flow. Flow out. But in this pool, the sheep gate, this was the gate in which the priest came out. They got a hold of the sheep, and they brought the sheep in, and they slaughtered it for the sacrifice into the temple. And if, I'm not going to go through the thing, but there's this fellowship sacrifice, there's the sin offerings, there's burnt offerings that have to happen. There's a whole bunch of things that happen in the logistics and the legalities of being right before God, and here we are, we're standing in Jesus Christ. According to his word, we are made righteous and true by the blood of the Lamb. Amen? So we're standing in grace. Jesus is about ready to go in and be sacrificed for us. But this pool, what is the prophetic element of this pool? And this pool, church, is something that I don't think we really think about too much. Maintaining the picture of all these sick people that are around this pool waiting for this angel to come in and God Almighty is coming up to this person. What has happened is this pool is where the priest came and grabbed a sheep and they would take this sheep into the pool and they would literally wash this sheep clean. Took all the dirt, all the grime off of it and then they brought it out of the pool. And they would inspect it. They make sure there was no hidden blemishes, make sure there wasn't anything that would disqualify it from being sacrificed. Now think about it. This was going on during that time, and the people are waiting to get into this dirty, dingy water because the angel stepped into it. and it would be healed. How many of you would go into a pool, a pond, a lake that was dirty, dingy, and filled with all kinds of garbage to receive your healing? Reminds me of the story when Naaman came to the prophet, and he was full of leprosy, and he brought clothes, he brought everything, gold, stuff, and all, and the prophet said, go dip yourself in the River Jordan. And the River Jordan is a small stream filled with dirt and all kinds of stuff. And Naaman says, am I a dog that I should go into the river to be cleaned? Now Naaman was a Syrian king, or a Syrian general. And his aide said, do what the prophet says. What's worse that could happen to you? Did you get cleansed from your leprosy? Is that the worst thing that could happen? And so we know that he went to the River Jordan, he dipped himself seven times, and in the seventh time that he came out of the Jordan, he was clean. Psalm 51, 5 through 7 says, behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you will make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and cleanse me. Wash me that I may be whiter than snow. All of us have something within us that we need to be cleansed from. And we're all filled with sin, and we're all filled with all kinds of junk that is not of God. God wants to deliver us. But yet we hold on to it. We hold on to, well, you know what? This is my sin, and I've got to pay the price for it. I got to go to the cross because God's not big enough to forgive my sin. God's not big enough to heal me. God's not big enough. What you have is you have a small vision of a great big God. God is bigger than any problem we have. And as Irene and I testified earlier, you know, He's done the unconventional for us and continues to work on our behalf. So here we are, we're standing in this mist with grace coming around, we're at the pool where sin is to be washed away and cleansed, and there's an inspection due of us. And we know that through faith in Jesus Christ, that if we're faithful and if He's faithful and true, that we confess our sins to Him, that He will cleanse us from all unrighteousness and forgive us of our sins by His blood, right? 1 John. Christ is our pool. If we stay in Him, there is nothing that could come against us because He's ever washing us. He's ever cleansing us. He's ever doing the things that we need. We need it. And because we have it and we don't appropriate it properly in our lives, we miss the blessings. We miss the promises. We think that God is something other than what He really is. He's really good. The people at the hospital, when I was in the hospital, going through this therapy and all, they couldn't understand why I was kidding around. Because I understood it wasn't God who did this. It was Satan that took advantage of me because I didn't properly take care of myself. And I put myself in there. And I just praise God. I'm in the recovery room. I'm in the emergency ward. I'm praising God. And people are looking at me like I'm nuts. But I'm praising God. Why? Because I'm not taken out yet. And neither are you. You have a divine call on your life. God's not going to let you escape until you do what He's called into your life to be. No sin is too great for Him. He's forgiven all our sin. Not just a little bit. And He doesn't hold it against us. He forgets about it. He loves us that much. And He wants us to take that message out to those who have not heard yet and bring them in. But the pull is something greater. The pull is the first step of sacrifice. When we go into Jesus Christ, what happens? Well, first of all, He forgives us of our sin, but He puts to death our self-life, our selfishness. The life I once lived, I now live for Him. It's His life flowing through me. And so I have this hunger and desire to do what He wants done, not what I want done. Well, Pastor, you just don't get it. No, you don't get it. You don't understand. He paid for you. You've been bought with a price. You're not your own. You're now His slave, and He elevates you from being a slave to making you a family member. And He calls you a king and a priest, of which all of us are. We have power and authority over sickness, death, infirmities. We have it because we're in His family. And He has all power and dominion. We just don't believe it. And like I said, the pull is the first step to sacrifice. Well, what happens when I do that? I read God's Word, I get into it, and I see what He says, I believe it in my heart, I start confessing it. That's not what God wants from us. Yeah, we're supposed to speak back to Him His very Word, because God gets excited when we agree with Him, because when we speak back the Word to Him, we're agreeing with Him. And mix that with faith. The dynamics change and become something wonderful, become something powerful. But there's something that we're missing here. It's not that God's looking for a robot and He's not looking for a parrot. What He's looking for is for a people who will spend time with Him. Only Mary and Martha and John and His mother hung at the cross. Or everybody else deserted Jesus. And what do? We run to the cross, we let Him know what we need, and off we go. We don't spend time with Him. Prayer isn't just something that, you know, we give God a list of our needs. He knows our needs. He's interested in seeing if you're going to spend time with Him. You see, the longer you spend time with Him, the quicker His response is to our needs. Why? Because when my kids spend time with me and they finally get around to what they want, I can respond and try to meet that need. God's no different. God wants to love on us. He wants to enjoy us. And it crushes Him when all we see Him, as Ed puts, a sugar daddy. When we throw these things up there before Him and we don't want to spend time with Him. God's desires of spending time with you. Jesus spent time with this guy. We get a small part of His conversation with this guy, and this guy had all kinds of excuses. He gave him a litany of reasons why he wasn't going to be healed. You know, somebody jumps in ahead of me. You know, I've had this for 38 years. You know, I'm just old. I'll never get in there. No one's going to help me. And Jesus just wants us to answer the question, do you want to be healed? And that's what we need to say to people. Do you want to be healed? God is able, but do you want to be healed? And here's the process. Since we're the body of Jesus Christ, where's the pool? Where's the pool that people come to get their hearts stirred and have a divine touch from God? Where is it? Where's this pool? It's in the churches. The body of Christ is absolutely right. And when we gather together on Sunday and I share something with you, you can have two things happen. And there's people who come Sunday and they listen to the sermon and I'll say to them, How was it? Oh, it was great. What did I say? I don't remember, but it was good. You ever ask anybody what was going on in Sunday? Yeah, no, I'm encouraged. I'm getting there. But you know, what they don't understand is they come to church to gather knowledge. And that's okay. You know, to gather knowledge. But that word, to gather knowledge, is called logos. It's just general information. And when you come in and you gather general information, is there power in that? No, it's all in our soul. We amass a whole lot of stuff, but what does the scripture say? Knowledge puffs up. Love edifies. And so, there's a second group of people that come in and they'll hear the same message. But yet there's a dynamic that goes on in them that stirs their heart. And the Holy Spirit is stirring in our hearts about something that's greater than just having Bible knowledge. It's to have a biblical experience in Jesus Christ. Do you believe God wants you to experience Him in a more powerful way than you've ever experienced Him? It's true. He does. And He wants you to get all excited. He wants you to be joyous in that He's doing this. And when you hear this message and it starts stirring your heart, it turns into rhema. It's what the Holy Spirit does. He mixes your faith in what's being shared, and He stirs that in your heart. And whatever the need is, if you need healing, then that's our subject today. But whatever that need is, when it's mixed with faith, God moves on our behalf. And what's it say in Hebrews? It says, they didn't enter into the promised land because they didn't mix it with faith. And because they didn't mix it with faith, they didn't enter into the Lord's rest. I was very comfortable being in the hospital because I knew God was in control. I knew that I wasn't taken out because of God. I mixed what I knew of God, His promises, and He stirred my heart. And He manifested His power through that. It's taken time for me to recover, but it does not negate the fact that He filled my heart with His action and stirred my heart so that His word, His promises became alive. There was power in what He said. It wasn't just information. And that's why I say to you that, you know what, you gotta get into your Bible studies. You gotta get into the Word. You gotta know what He's saying so that He can take that thing that you're going through and stir it, mix it with His Word and your faith and watch Him do something. We saw Him do something this week that we were just, you know, God, this is the end. And God wouldn't let us speak to death to that. He stopped us. And then Alan picked right up on it. It was like, ba-boom! And God said to me, stand back and watch my glory. And then I say that to him. And look what's going on. Look what's going on now. We have an opportunity, which we're going to seize that opportunity. And God's going to get the glory for it because He's done it for us. So how does this work in the church? How do we become a pool? Well, Romans 10:17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. Now, we've heard that scripture many times. But have we applied that scripture so that God can stir our hearts? And what I say to you is it stirring your heart and being mixed with your faith to believe what God says is true and that you can receive from God what He wants to give to you. And what we do is we ask for the small potatoes. Oh, heal me of this mass. Heal me of this infection. Heal me, do this, do that. And God wants to do that. But how big is your God? I'm asking God to give me Williamstown. I'm asking God to use streams worldwide. What are you asking for? Didn't God say, if you had asked me, I'd give you the nations as your inheritance? You see, he's transitioning us from a prophetic church, which is, this is basic, this is prophetic, it's basic, that he wants to elevate your thinking into apostolic, one that's filled with power and might. And it starts in the way you think about yourself. If all you think about is God wants just to save you, you won't see the greater purposes that God has for your life. He has a plan for you. He has a destiny for you. He has a calling upon your life that is for you. And only you can fulfill it. He has called you kings and priests. Kings and priests don't grovel at the leftovers. They go and seize the opportunities and they make the enemy bow down to them. Do you not understand that you are destined to rule the nations? You are destined to judge angels. That is your destiny. You get the opportunity to practice what you believe here in this world today. God wants to this word to go forth. He wants to stir your heart. He wants to inflame it in such a way that you begin to start seeing yourself more than I'm a sinner, and God, you just got to wash me. Yeah, that's what you were on the other side of the cross. On this side of the cross, you're a world changer. You're a history maker. You're divinely appointed. There's nothing stopping you. Nothing can stop you. Nothing but a thought. And if you have God's thoughts, and you have God's word in your heart, then He will take the Holy Spirit and He will allow the Holy Spirit to stir your heart on those promises. You may be going through a tough time right now, as we're going through. But we're looking past that tough time because we know that we're going to go through this tough time. But there's joy on the other side. And what's the scripture say? Jesus went to the cross, not because he hated it, but he saw the joy that passed it. He saw all of us coming to the knowledge. He saw all of us grabbing a hold of the promises that God says is true and righteous. Whether people want to say whatever they want to say about us, we don't care. I only care what God says. And it's impossible for him to lie. He wants to stir your heart. He wants to turn you coming to church into becoming the church. He wants you to understand that there's a greater purpose than us just coming together and singing Kumbaya. And we're just entering in. We haven't even got there yet. We're coming through the threshold into the promises of a God. And He wants to do awesome things with us. Can you believe this? Oh God, God wants to take me from here and do what? I don't know what He wants to do. But I do know this. I'm going with Him. You can come along and we can enjoy Him together and watch what He does as we go and do what He tells us to do. And it gets exciting. It gets more exciting. And what happens is your faith burns brighter. Your testimony gets out there and people start wondering, what is, your life is in the dumps. But God. Are you washing yourself in the Word? Or are you more about your circumstances? And I don't want to belittle the circumstances that we find ourselves in. Sometimes our circumstances are bred out of bad decisions. We've believed in people and they've done things and caused us to make bad decisions. Repent. Ask God to forgive you. Move on. You can't change it. But God can make it work for you. Jesus is asking the church, do you want to be healed? Do you want to be set free? Do you want to be unshackled? What is it that you want from Him? What is it that you need from Him? Then come boldly to His throne. God said to me years ago when I got saved and I was praying for my kids, He said, I would stop the universe to listen to you. Think about that. He would stop the universe. You know how big it is? And the Bible says He holds the universe in the palm of His hand. How big is God? How big is your God? I'm trying to get you to see this picture. From coming from the pool of grace and mercy to receive what you want, to be cleansed, but you have to give up your life. Living for yourself. To live for Him and what He wants done. It's called a sacrifice. That's why He says He canceled all joy watching His sheep die every day. They don't choose to live their life. They choose to live their life in sacrifice for His. All we're asked to do is come to Him. To walk humbly before Him, to be submitted to Him and what He wants to do. Isn't it time that we stop letting the enemy shackle us to our past, keep us imprisoned in our minds of things that could have, would have, and should have been, and come out of that and grab a hold of our future in Jesus Christ? I think it's time, church, that we begin to start walking this thing out that we believe to be true. Because we have the Master, we have the Creator of everything going before us. Not our back, He's going before us. We can't be stopped. We just can't. It doesn't matter what weapon is formed against us. God is for us. Amen? Father, we just thank You for Your Word. And I ask, Holy Spirit, that You stir our hearts up, not to just have good works, but begin to activate the promises that You have given to us to fulfill our call in You, God. God, cause a holy dissatisfaction about our lives, God. We can't change people. Only You have the ability to do that. We can't make people do what You want done. That's called witchcraft, God, and we're not going to do that either. But one thing we can do, God, is come boldly to You, make our requests known to You, and then stand back and spend some time with You and let You do what You want to do. Father, I ask in the behalf of Streams today, God, that You do for them what they need, God, that they can't do for themselves. That You heal the brokenhearted. That You fix up the infirm, God. That You endow them with more power, God. That they have a confidence and a humility before You, God, and before men, that Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, God. That what the enemy meant for evil, You will turn it around for our good. God, I thank You for this word. I thank You that You've given us some basics, that we have to get clean, that we have to sacrifice, and that we present it to You, God. And more importantly, that we spend time with You, God. The sacrifice that was burned up, it took time to be incinerated. God, incinerate us. Take Your time in doing that, God, so there'd be nothing impure in our hearts. We send forth Your word to those who are still infirm, God, and we believe, God, that they will recover in Jesus' name. Father, Let us see your glory. Let us see you move on our behalf, that we may praise you forever and ever, because we won't let the stones take it up for us. God, we thank you for this time. We thank you for their obedience. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.